Good evening and welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen Miles and this is Jolene Bryson Treadway. Hi, Jolene.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
Getting ready for a hurricane.
Oh, yeah, let's just hope that hurricane just goes on out of the ocean and passes everybody up this time.
I hope so, but I've been watching the markings. It is down to a hurricane one. It weakened a little bit, but we'll know by tomorrow morning whether it'll be a pure nightmare or whether it'll go straight north. So we're not sure yet, but people here where I live are just quiet and just kind of watching the skies more or less. So anyway, that's where I am right now, just looking out the window a lot. So, but I'm ready to have a nice evening here with you and everybody that's going to join us.
Okay. Well, I think I think tonight's going to be a really good show. I decided that for one, we're going to take comments, open up the lines, and just what the people. But also going to talk about conspiracy theories and found some pretty good information online. As a matter of fact, it's the 10 top conspiracy theories. Was going to talk about aliens, but seems like we're going to go towards Lee Harvey Oswald and some other stuff.
Mm. it. That is, it sounds not only interesting, it'll bring back a lot of memories for a lot of people that, you know, that will remember where they were at that particular time when he was accused of what he did to our wonderful president that we had, Mr. John F. Kennedy, and all the other, you know, whatever you choose as, you know, in subjects, I think everyone will enjoy tonight. I think tonight will be a night that we'll hear from different people, and I think that's something that they'll all enjoy, and so will we.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think so, too. And I find this topic quite interesting anyway, you know, because there's so many different theories on Lee Harvey Oswald and why it was thought that he didn't act alone. And then it's even questioned whether he even done it at all, because of the length of time that would take for him to get this from the depository building
right
to his house, which couldn't be run in that distance of time that
right.
they said that he did it in.
Right.
So.
Well, I know I was still little. my memory will I remember the day, and I remember coming home that particular day, you know, my father was stationed in another port, and he was in the military, and I remember that day well, but I was only about, 7 years old.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah, so that I remember the United States military going into almost like a lockdown, and It was kind of hazy for me being that young, but there are many things I do remember, and so it'll be interesting to hear what other people that, you know, might have remembered a lot more than what I did at that age.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I think that it's a very interesting thing, and I don't know if they'll ever fully come out with the truth as to what happened. I know that that there's been a lot of people that thought the shooter was the CIA, the Mafia, Fidel Castro, even Lyndon Johnson
mm-hmm.
was believed to be the masterminds behind the murder
mm-hmm.
and cover up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it kind of strikes me as odd as to why, you know, some of the files, well, all of the files, have been basically locked up for X amount of years.
Right.
So, that's an interesting thing to even think about.
Isn't it time almost for those files to be released?
I believe so.
I thought so, too. I believe that there was a certain date that they were to be released. If I'm not mistaken, I thought it was sometime this year, 2011, that they were to be released.
You know, I believe you're right. I'll have to check and see if there's any talk about the release of those dates and or those documents and what date that'll be.
Right.
Hopefully between the end of the year, which is not that far off.
No, not at all. I know
now,
in the next... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to go on to and bring up, there was conspiracy theory about Princess Diana, and I do have my thoughts on that one.
Yeah.
That was very sad.
Very. I don't think I ever left the TV set that particular day. When it came over the news, I froze, and I just sat there, and I could not believe. I mean, I kept watching the same film that they were showing over and over and over and over and over again. And I had admired her for all her characteristics, her heart, her soul, her spirit, her goodness to other people, her down to earth, her charitable functions, everything that she did, her being a mother first and foremost, raising her sons to be just as they are today, gentlemen and down to earth with other people. They very much have their mother in them, and so that one really will interest me to hear what other people have to say, because she was quite a lady.
Yes, she was. That she was. And I remember where I was. My daughter was almost a year old.
Oh, my.
Almost a year old at the time. And I was flipping through the channels, and lo and behold, they said that she had died. And I thought at first, no, they're wrong. You know, this can't be. Because she was a big part of my childhood growing up, because all you saw was Princess Diana. You know, very, very well-mannered, you know, just a lovely, lovely person.
Lovely, just a lovely person. And she always, I loved the way she dressed. It was, you know, casual, but very, very classy. She would wear shorts and yet wear a pair of nice little flats, and I really admired the way that she dressed, because it was so similar to the way that when I was growing up in during the summers and during the winters, I had the similar way and taste of her, and I always felt like, you know, well, she was extraordinary to me, you know. And between her and Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, I think those were the two ladies that I kind of looked up to a lot, you know. And even though I have my own culture, you know, it's something how you can look up to somebody else, you know, to as sort of like a role model. And that's what I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought Princess Diana was. There'll never be anyone that can take her place. And I know the media has tried to say that, you know, William's wife, Kate, will now take her place. But you can see in Kate's face that she honors William's mother to no end, and has no intentions of ever taking her place, but will respect and honor her place forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's going to make a mark for herself. But she's quite a lot, in my opinion. Her actions are similar, but
very,
not entirely. But I like the way she carries herself.
I do too. And she's very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very confident young lady. She holds her head high. She smiles. She'll nod her head. She does a lot of things. You're right. She does a lot of things like Princess Diana, but she's very confident and very sure of herself. And I like that a lot in a young lady so young as she is to take on such a role. And she doesn't let the queen get to her at all. She doesn't let her get underneath her skin. And I like that about her also.
I do too. I think it's good that she's that way. And it was such a sad, sad day when, you know, they were showing the video of the wreck and everything.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know about you. I know you had, well, I know you had to have watched it like I did. I never took, I couldn't stop watching the film over and over again. I mean, every time they played it, I watched what happened with the car, and I would look closer to see where she would be sitting, and I did all of that, and oh my goodness. And I went through the whole night, and I didn't sleep. I just kept watching it over and over and over again. It was it was awful. And then when they showed her resting place in Scotland, that little island that's surrounded by water, and they mm-hmm. have what is it, chains or posts and a fence around it, and mm-hmm. only her sons have access to it. You know, and there's a weeping willow tree that's over her resting place. It's absolutely beautiful.
It is.
It is. You couldn't. I mean, I know she's at peace.
Well, I do too, and I think that. Well, my question is about what happened with her is how was the driver so drunk that he was falling down, drunk, couldn't walk according to his blood alcohol level? How was he even able to get out and walk to the car and get in the car and drive off? That is just beyond me. That this has been one question that I have wondered about ever since. You know, if he was as drunk as they claimed that he was, how did he drive the car?
Exactly. And then, I mean, in my heart, and in my opinion, I think that somebody did something to his drink, if that's the case. I know that there had been many questions about her estranged husband, Prince Charles, not wanting her to be with, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he was Asian Indian in nationality, or I'm not sure of his ethnic background, but I do know that Prince Charles did not agree with it, and there was questions about how, you know, that he may have put somebody up to harassing them to the point on the road that the driver lost control, you know, and couldn't get by them to get away. And that too would make a lot of sense. I wish I'd have been behind the wheel. I laugh a little bit, but it's not funny. I would have turned into Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Right. No. Well, I seriously, I think that, you know, with everything, you know, they have to ask the question. You know, I mean, they said blood alcohol was like, I think, 3 or 4 times the limit, you know, and if that's the case, how did he walk?
Right.
You know, I mean, how did he even drive?
How did he get that as far as he did?
I don't see it.
No, because they were almost to Paris. They mm-hmm. were almost going through the tunnel into where Paris was. He couldn't have driven that, especially in a tunnel like that had beams and bars and stuff. He couldn't have driven that far. There's no way.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, there was also the theory that, you know, there could not be another marriage if she was still living.
Exactly.
Because it was against their beliefs, you know, for the royal family to actually marry again if that wife or husband was still living.
And that's right, I watched his actions a lot after, especially during the funeral. I watched him intensely, and he looked like he was in shock of his own self. Mm-hmm. He looked as if he was completely just speechless, in shock, maybe at the fact that what he may have talked about in private actually was pulled through, and the fact that, look, what has he done to his son, you know? And I don't think to this day, even when Prince William got married to Princess Kate, I don't believe I saw him hardly anywhere in the wedding. He certainly wasn't right up front. He sat somewhere off to the side, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure. I watched the wedding. I actually sit up to watched that wedding when William and Kate married. And I remember seeing him come in. I remember seeing his now wife walk in with him, but as far as where they were placed at, I don't remember.
I don't think they were weren't close up to the bride and the groom. I think that they had placed them in another seating, and I think that is the way that the bride and the groom requested it. I don't think William wanted his father there.
I don't know. I know that it was just, you know, it was kind of, I mean, it was a beautiful wedding, but it was, you know, the way it was done was kind of odd to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think a lot of people missed who should have been there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I guess we will move on to the next one. I've been here going through some of these other stuff, and this has to be somewhat of a favorite. The 1969 Apollo moon landing. A lot of
What?
The Apollo moon landing, the very first one. So, and the reason being was because they were talking about the shadow of the astronauts that the shadowing on the ground shouldn't have been there, I believe was what was said. But we've never been to the moon, so we don't know whether there's supposed to be a shadow there or not.
Oh,
so,
my.
Yeah, so they don't think.
Now, that's new to me. Now, you see, I did not know anything about a shadow.
Yeah, they talked about the shadow, and it also, you know, Melissa says, too, that mostly that theory has been debunked, but there's still a few followers out there that believe that it did not happen. And it said that one of the most famous reasons was the Kennedy administration wanted to win the space race with the Soviet Union and then put instill faith in people for NASA. But there's most people still believe, you know, that they did actually walk on the moon. I think they did. I mean, I wasn't around at that time. I didn't show up until 1972, so this was all before me. But it's an interesting topic, and I like that. And
I was in school. I remember being in elementary school. I think I was somewhere near, I'm going to say, I don't, third grade. I don't really remember what grade. I know I was small. But I do remember them bringing a TV into the classroom and showing, you know, putting it so that the children could watch the landing. And I thought it was really awesome that was the moon. You know, that was my frame of thinking at that point in time, being that little. You know, that they were actually on our moon, you know. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I would look up at night, especially on a full moon, and I'd actually look really hard to see footprints from where I was standing up on the moon, thinking I could actually see our flag fly and the footprints, and not, you know, not thinking, well, you're not going to see those things, not from where, you know, that far away. But, I mean, just the fact that our flag is still up there, I mean, that's just, to me, that makes you proud.
Oh, I know it. You know what I did, though, when as a kid, and when we were learning about the moon and about the spacewalk and the landing, you know, and all that, when we got a telescope, my deal would be we would be outside in the evening during the summer with a telescope. And I would be looking at the moon because I was searching for the flag. I wanted to see that flag.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be on the opposite side, this other side that's not facing us, not our side facing us, but the opposite side.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first thing I didn't know. I didn't know that we'd know. So, in other words, we'll never be able to see it.
No.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but, and see, I didn't know that for the longest time. I would search for it. You know, I had a telescope, and we'd be looking at the craters, but it was the most fascinating, just very fascinating. I love a lot of the astrological and galaxy, stuff from the galaxy and everything. And I was on Google Sky the other day looking at different planets and stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, I enjoy doing that. I think I like looking at different things. I find it pretty.
That is incredible. I know that my son Robert, you have that in common with him because he does the same thing. He likes to get on the Discovery Channel and so on and study the planets and what they're made of and all the thing all those interesting things that I prefer to step outside at night, and I actually sit and when like the other night we had a full sky of just what to me was millions of stars, and it was very interesting because a shooting star would go one way and one would go the other way, and it was like it was just almost as if someone was up there throwing them, and that's how they were shooting, you know. And it was
mm-hmm.
very, very beautiful, very interesting. And I was watching them go all across the sky, and I tried to make a wish on at least one or two that were gone, but I don't think I made it in time. but I certainly do enjoy the night. I call it the night sky because to me there are many things that I think a lot of us miss not being conscious of what is really up there and what we could really see if we sat from nightfall to daybreak and actually watched what may go across the sky or the different, Robert speaks of the alien theories, all those things. If you were to sit for that whole night and just make it a promise to yourself that I'm going to make it through the night without falling asleep, gosh knows what we could actually see. You know, hour by hour, you know, as the hours went by, and that goes for the paranormal also. You know, where I live, many of them that have been here as long as I have told me that when they have sat out at night, if I didn't know better, and well, I say that myself, if I didn't know better, I would swear that I saw a dark shadow run across the field.
And they probably did.
And I saw the same thing. And I told them, you're not seeing things because if I didn't know better, I would say, that's exactly what I saw. And it's in the same place that they saw it, that I saw it. And it's a dark shadow, and it runs across the field right across from me and behind my neighbor, and it's the same place that they see it that I see it. And I've seen it many times. It kind of gives me the chills a little bit because I'm wondering what is it and why is it here. It certainly isn't in white or, you know, I mean, what appears to be a black coat or something of that sort. So, you know, if you stay out at night like that, you can see a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. You can. I was driving home one evening, and it was late. I had taken my daughter to have some minor surgery done in Lexington, and we were driving back, and which it could have been a shadow from one of the cars. I don't know. But And I'm still not quite sure how it would have been a shadow, because it looked like something went between the cars and it blocked out one car from the other. And I watched it as it went, it crossed the road, and it scared me. And at that point, you know, I was swerving because I thought someone got hit. So, yeah, you could see stuff, and it's just like, boom, you know. And usually it happens when you're not expecting it. That's
right.
Usually when you get the paranormal, you know, it's when you don't expect it. So,
right.
Yeah, that was kind of a frightening moment for me. And I usually don't really scare too much of the paranormal because we're out there doing it. But the one thing that you told me about a long time ago, and I don't know if you remember this one, you probably do, though. Remember about the shed? That there was something in that shed?
Yes.
Yes. You want to tell everybody about that? Because I found that very, very interesting. And have you seen it since then?
The shed, they actually, the workmen here, they bulldozed it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they bulldozed it down. It's gone. It's flat. There's nothing left. They literally ran it down and crushed it and everything. But there was something very, very, very bad about that. There were two sheds. One, both were built at the same time. One was used for, it was a Harley-Davidson workshop, because my neighbor had two Harleys, and the other was the tool shop. It had all the tools, generators, everything that he kept in there, all his special tools. And that was a particular shop. It had an air conditioner and everything, a lamplight. He had ran electricity through it, but then he moved. And he moved because his fiance had passed away. And after it became empty, and his name was Thomas, and after Thomas had left and moved down to Carolina, where his mom and dad live, everything in that particular shed, there was something really wicked that had either got in there, but there were several occasions where there were sounds. We tried to get in. It pulled the door closed. We tried to pull it open. There were several occasions where we backed up, and my son said, "Let's get out of here." And then one occasion where a young man said he saw what was in there, and he would never go back near it again. It was, I think about it now, and I think about what I saw up on the pole about a week ago, and I think, again, it runs me right back to a Mothman or something that looks so similar. I know that when they ran it down and bulldozed it, I know that something happened to each of the maintenance men that worked on it. One of them, his mom passed away, and the other one got into a bad accident and had to go to the hospital. It was eerie that something happened to the ones that touched it. I never went near it after they bulldozed it.
Well, I remember you being, it was kind of worrisome for you because you weren't sure what it was. And there's a lot of things out there that we don't know about. And I think people should understand that these entities or these spirits, we don't know what they're capable of doing. And I think to go out and look for them just for fun is probably not a good idea. There's many of us out there that are with teams that go out and help people. But we do this because we're helping people. It's not because we want to go out and go into someone's house and it's for the thrill of it. We do it to help them. And
right.
I've seen quite a few things. I've had some interesting stuff that's happened. And I talk about the Shanley Inn quite a bit. That is a very haunted location. I made the trip to New York to go up there, and I want to go back. I really do. I want to go back because there's things that I want to go back and redo, like the one's room. But we got a Class A EVP while we're in the room, and at the same time, you could feel this energy in the room, and it was almost like electricity. That is the best way I can explain it. It was just like the room in a certain area, it just energized, and I could feel it all the way around me. There were three or four of us in the room, and literally, they could see my hair being pulled at and let go. It would come out and go back in, and it felt like somebody's hand was in my hair, playing with my hair. And she didn't like women, and I think the only reason why she was more accepting than me was because I had the same Irish background as she did.
Right.
So I think they had a lot, that was a lot that came into play there for me, and that's the reason why I didn't get run out of the room, because normally she would run people out. My first trip in, she did push me out, and it was an odd experience. It was an interesting experience, but it was exciting all at the same time. And that Class A EVP, there was another gentleman in the room, and I asked her, and now I knew she didn't have children. I didn't know about her mother and her father, if she had brothers and sisters, but I did ask, you know, was she doing what she did, you know, to help support her family, you know, mother,
right.
father, brother, sister, or her kids.
Right.
And the response was, I don't have any.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So she did respond.
She did respond.
My goodness.
And I believe that was the only EVP we got from her that night. Because we went in there about three or four different times, and the last time was when we got the EVP, and she was playing with my hair. And I do have video. I'm trying to figure out how to lighten that up so that
right.
it can be seen, because it was dark. It, well,
right.
it wasn't completely dark. I mean, it was somewhat semi-lit, but I want to be able to lighten the video so that you can
right.
see from where she was in my hair.
That's interesting. You know, Robert was looking up something just last night, and it was ironic that he found it, and it was about a demon or demons, if I heard him correctly, that invaded this house where these people lived, and they actually picked up and they left everything they owned, which was supposed to be very beautiful. And they left with the clothes on their back. And this was in another state. And I turned and I looked at him and I said, doesn't that sound familiar? I said, Surrey, all those beautiful homes with velvet curtains, pianos, everything that no one will go near. They don't even rob the places. They just leave it. And I said, doesn't that sound familiar? And he looked at me at first, and I said, Surrey. That's exactly what happens over in Surrey. They leave with the clothes on their back, and everything they own is still in the house, and it's still there today. And yet no one that lived around them will even trespass on their property or even take anything from their house. They refuse to go near it. And he went on to read to me out loud that the reason why they didn't, it's never been taken or robbed or anything like that, is because the dark forces that are chased them out of their own home had already put their negativity on the household things themselves. So the people that lived around these people knew enough not to touch anything. So he went on to read about it, and it was extremely interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, and these are things that are slowly coming up, where, like I was telling you about the siren, we really got into that. That was a heated discussion between he and I about the singing in the water and things. But to leave a house fully, with beautiful items in it, and leave it and just walk out with just your clothes on your back. What he was reading was the theories that somewhere along the way aliens landed in Surrey or somewhere, or even in another state where he read this happened, and they had no time to get what their belongings. They were taken as hostage, more or less, and that's why their house still stands as it is today, with nothing touched except, it's just grown with dust on it, and all their beautiful items are still in there, and even the neighbors will not go near it.
See, that makes sense, because of the negativity, people, you just kind of sense it, don't
mm-hmm.
go in it.
Right.
But I've not, here where I live, we live on a battlefield, of course, and I haven't really seen that, to where people have abandoned their homes like that. Of course, I did find out there is one that's here, and it's in our downtown area, that no one can live in this house for no more than a month at a time. And I was told where the house was. I have driven by the house, the way the house was described to me, with the yard growed up and everything. It's exactly that way, because the activity is just so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the last of the, it's the only little block. There's like three houses, but the last three that's on that little stretch of road there that are of the 1800 era. So, it's just, it fascinates me. So I've seriously been thinking about finding out who owns that house and seeing about getting my team to be able to go in and do an investigation there.
Right.
But it's a cute little house. It's a little cute, two-story house, and it's all grown
right.
up, and they just don't touch it.
Right, and that's just like these houses now. These houses over in Surrey have gotten old. Age has definitely caught up with the homes on the outside, but on the inside, the things in there are absolutely beautiful. Pianos that are gorgeous, and things that have never, and no one will touch them. No one will go near them or touch them. So whoever lived around these people saw what took them out of there and never so much as crossed the road. And then it's only a little small two-lane road. It's very, very thin. And you have to be careful, because you can easily go into the other lane. Even looking for the house, you can go into the other lane, and so you have to be careful. But why are there houses over there, and there is more than one, that are left with everything in there and not
touched? It doesn't make sense. It really don't.
No.
But I think they look at the history of the land.
Right.
There's so much American Indian culture, and I think that may have something to do with it, because, you had people that come in and they moved on to the lands, they're burial, of course there's burial grounds, and maybe that has something to do with the reason why those houses are now abandoned, because they have awakened and angered spirits that wanted to rest,
I agree.
It's just, you gotta really think about that stuff, because, we have so much history that's associated with this country that I don't think that one area or any one area has any more or any less history to it than another. But Surrey itself is an interesting location. I'm particularly interested in the Surrey Demon Child.
Yes, yes. That, and you know, that house is still there. The people still live in it. Everything that goes on in that house still goes on in it daily. It's still, the chairs rock all by themselves. Things fly across the room. Everything happens in that house that happens there every day. And when they filmed that documentary, which can be found on the Discovery Channel called The Demon Child, in Surrey, he tried to let people see that it's very much still there, and the people that live there say that they eat their dinners and they sit at the kitchen table and things, the chair, as they're eating dinner, the chair will start rocking back and forth all by itself. You'll hear a door slam. You'll hear footprints, at night, somebody walking in the house, and they've just learned to live with it. And the reason why they stay is because, you know, financially, they don't have the resources to get another place to live, so they've made that their home and learned to ignore what continually goes on there. And my goodness, I mean, this is a true story that has been there for a long, long time, and now that people reside in the house, everything still continues as it is, and they continue to live there and just pretend that they don't hear or see.
Wow.
And it's unreal. I couldn't do it. I could not live in a house knowing that all these things, especially at night, I don't know if I'd be able to close my eyes, simply because I would want to see what was going on at night. I probably would never get any sleep because I'd be curious, you know. I would. I would want to see these things, you know, whatever it is that's haunting it, you know. And then you go down further, and you remember I told you about the house with the sign called Circus Man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's another house that's never been touched. They left it just like it is. And everything is still in the house. It's unreal. Surrey is a very, very, I was getting ready to say mean, because the people there are not friendly at all. If you're not from that area, you do not ask questions and you do not get curious. You keep your mouth shut. And If you find out about these places on your own, you don't tell the people in that area that you found out about them. You just don't say anything at all. It's a very, very negative town, mm-hmm. and people there are not at all nice. And you got to be real careful how you act when you go over there. And thank goodness when my son decided to get curious and see what was in this circus man's house, I went with him, and see, the cemetery was in the back, and you could hear the mourning, awfully mourning cry of a woman bawling, you know, in a mournful cry and screaming and crying and heaving in tears. And you know, and I myself went to help her because I couldn't stand to hear someone cry so hurtfully. And my son stopped me, and he said, don't go out there. And I said, why? She's crying. And he said, no. He said, that's a trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you know, I had to stop. And I said, why do you say that? He said, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
He said, people, he said, that's to lure you out there.
That's true. Just as the siren is singing to lure him into the water.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, okay. Now he knows not to go in the water there. But I tell you, Surrey is a strange place.
Mm-hmm.
Strange, strange place.
I think too. Another one that's an odd place, and we've discussed this one many times, is Moon, Virginia.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Everything there is named after the moon.
I found that so interesting when you first told me about that. And we actually have a caller online, so I'm going to bring that caller on. So let's see.
Okay.
Hello? Caller?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Did you have something you wanted to share with us or a question to ask this evening?
I'm not sure what show I called in. What show is this? I'm sorry.
It's Spirit Travels Radio.
Okay. Is this like a reading show?
No. We actually, occasionally we have psychics come on. And here the next couple weeks we will have a psychic on air.
Oh, okay. Then I'll just listen. And that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for joining us.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. Well. So just everybody knows, we are going to have a psychic on air with us within the next couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks tops, because we have some things that are coming up. And it's going to be an interesting month. September's going to be a really interesting month. September 12th, and I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody this. We're going to do a combined show between Spirit Travels Radio and another show that's out on the West Coast. For the birthday of Leonard Peltier. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be a really fun show.
Oh my, what a special day.
Yeah, it's going to be really special, that's for sure. Tomorrow, we are going to have Deonna Kelly Saeed. She is an author. She's also a paranormal investigator. And her husband, if I'm not mistaken, is the ambassador to Egypt. Very nice lady.
Oh, my.
So, it's going to be a fun show as well. She's very intelligent, very articulate, and I think everybody's going to enjoy her. I'm working on some people that I'm hoping, well, I already know they're coming on. It's just getting the dates set for them. One of them is Tom Devlin. He was on Face Off for Sci-Fi. He's had a very busy schedule, and he agreed, I don't know, 2-3 months ago to come on. So when he's able to get that date, and I am in contact back and forth with him, so we're working on that. Let's see, who else? We also have someone by the name of Buffalo Child, who's an actor. He appeared on Dances with Wolves. We'll be calling him this weekend and setting up a date for him. Have a very special singer that will be coming on later. He's going to be contacting me soon. So just as soon as he contacts me, then I'll announce who he is. But he's an amazing singer. To me, he sounds almost like the lead singer to Creed when Creed was still together.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. We get him on, it's going to be great.
Is that tonight?
No. No, these are just some upcoming guests that we're going to have at a later date.
That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds wonderful. I'm very interested in the psychic. I really, they intrigue me. We have two here in our area, one being from over in, and I guess near Egypt or around that area, and she lives here in where I live in my hometown, and a lot of people have said many great things about her, that she knows exactly what she's doing and that she's very good, and she takes her time, and I have wanted so badly to be able to sit down just one time with her and have her take a look at my chart, so to speak, and tell me about me. And you know, they just it's an amazing to be able to hear someone tell you about your future and your past and so on. And I've always had a very deep interest in them. And I know the gypsies are very gifted,
mm-hmm.
very, very gifted in their psychic abilities. And they are another group of ethnic people that I admire. And they caught my interest when I was a very young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always liked them.
I have always found gypsies interesting.
Very.
So I'm going to, you know, maybe we should get someone on that has that background. I hadn't thought about doing that, but I think it might be something to discuss.
Wonderful.
Maybe.
How would we get a hold of that would be great. That would be wonderful to be able to get in touch with a gypsy that travels, because I know that they travel. I actually met a band of them when I was a young girl, and they were on the road traveling, and I absolutely loved their dress code, their shawls that they wore over their shoulders, and their beautiful broom skirts, and they make everything by hand, and it, oh my, it was just astounding to look at their clothes, and I couldn't help but stare at the lady, and she just started talking to me, and I just told her I thought she was beautiful,
mm-hmm.
absolutely beautiful. I was amazed. And I told her, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stare at you, but I just thought you were so beautiful with your shawl wrapped around you. And she went on to tell me about their culture, and I was just, oh my goodness, it was something, because they can just take your hand and they put it in theirs and they tell you all about you, and it's amazing. And that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see what I can do. I'll do some research and see if I can get in contact with someone and get them on the show, because I think it would be a very interesting topic and mm-hmm. probably a very interesting guest to have on. So we'll check into it.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about the paranormal, some of my son's friends went back over to Old House Woods and came back to tell us that, of course, my son didn't go, but Robert didn't go, but his friends, Jimmy and them, they did, and they said the activity out there is so intense that they actually did get very scared because of the activity, and that they saw things they had never seen before when we went, and he said, I would never go without a gun. That's what his words were, because he said that's how intense the activity was out there. And I asked him what occurred, and he said that he actually saw the girl in her little gown, and she's 9 years old, actually, after midnight, he called it, of course, the witching hour,
mm-hmm.
and he actually saw her jump out of the window.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
You know, I find old house woods just completely fascinating. There's just so much history to that, and there's a lot of stuff that's not known that I think only the people of that town know. But I don't believe that they're willing to talk, because maybe it's just really, well, we know it's bad stuff, because there are said to be children buried in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, you know, that's just sad. It's just that part alone is sad. But
yeah.
One has to understand that this area in particular, the bay comes in, out. And I'm not sure if it's not too, it's not that very far from the house, is it, the bay?
Oh, no, it's not. You can walk it. It's not far from the bay to the house is maybe a quarter of a, you know, barely a quarter of a mile. And you can just park your car, if you trust your car to park there. You know, I, for one, wouldn't leave a vehicle just sit there, because I would have a feeling something would be waiting for you coming back to it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm that way. And Corey was that way. I'm not leaving my car out here, you know. And I didn't blame him, because I wouldn't have done it either, you know. Somebody had to stay with the vehicle, you know. So, there's so many things that they said now that take place. Jimmy said that you can see a light swish around the trees, that just like flies around the trees, and it's not a welcoming light. It's red, and it's deep red, and it goes around and it circles and it goes all around. And I said, my gosh, I said, so the activity has really picked up there. He said, enough to scare you. You know, he said I used to go out there and not get real scared. He said, now I do get scared.
Hmm. Maybe the activity has really picked up more. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, to kind of explain some of the history up there, you know, you had a lot of your pirate ships that would come into that bay. So that would be somewhere I would love to just go out, do an investigation at, and then maybe walk the beach with a metal detector.
Yes. Yes. Because nobody goes near it. I mean, nobody. And there aren't any animals. There's not even a possum or a squirrel or anything. Then there's the place where they hung them years ago. I'm trying to remember the name of the where they it's a tall I'm sorry everybody, it went right off the top of my head. But it's the place where they would hang the people that they wanted to do away with at that time and place. That particular thing, the rope is still there, and it's very old, and it still stands, and it's eerie, and you don't dare walk up on the land where it is, because even Robert said, I'm not walking up there. You know, who knows, you know, what could, you know, get a hold of you out there, and nobody will cross the little dirt road to just, you know, walk up and actually see it, because that's where the house that burned down lit back up all by itself to burn some more, and then lit back up, and then went back down and lit back up again. I mean, it did that all by itself, and finally it burned itself out all the way to the ground. So And then the orphanage is on the other road, and it's a creepy place.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody that's listening has been, you know, and is from out there in Matthews, Virginia, and has been out there, I'd love to hear from you, because I am sure that you have a great feel and in a touch for the knowledge of Old House Woods, you know, than those of us who, you know, go out there in the paranormal sense and want to see the activity out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very interesting to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be too, just to get some of the history and the stories behind the town and the house itself would be great.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to bring up something about an investigation my team done. And first of all, don't spend the night at a place by yourself in a known haunted location. We went to an old jailhouse that's here in Kentucky. Jesse James had been there. As a matter of fact, he'd been hidden inside this jail by his cousin, who happened to be married to the jailer. And I found that very fascinating that they would do that, but they did it. Well, at the end of our investigation, which we got quite a bit of good stuff, you know, it was an interesting night. It was an active night, and I had driven, oh gosh, I was the one who had driven the furthest. I think I'd driven something like 2 to 3, probably about 3 hours drive.
Wow.
From my home to this investigation. And by the end of the investigation, I was tired. And we had to rent one of the rooms in order to get in to do the investigation. We had the whole building to ourselves. There was nobody there that night. And I decided that I was staying at the location.
Wow.
And
by yourself?
I'd done it by myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody else went home.
One
of the girls stayed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she stayed for a little while, and then she said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go, because I had gotten so sleepy I couldn't hold my eyes open. I was done with the investigation. And mind you, I slept inside a jail cell.
Oh, my goodness.
It was very different. But what happened was she left, and I locked the door behind her. Now, I had the key to get in and out of the building. Nobody else had the key to get in. And what I done was I went back to the room, and I pulled this jail cell door shut. Now, mind you, for whatever reason, I felt like I was safe with this cell door closed. It didn't lock, but it shut. So I pulled that cell door shut, and I laid back down, and they had redone the room. The walls and everything, it was all the same, and the way the beds were, they were actually on the jail beds, but they'd done something different with them. And one on the bottom, it was a water bed. So I decided I was sleeping on the water bed. And went to bed, laid down, went to sleep. And I guess an hour or two after I went to sleep, something woke me up. And I laid there and listened. And I heard the door chime. And it sounded like someone come through the door. Because that's the only way, I mean, you would have had to open the door to get that door to chime. So I heard the footsteps, went across the floor. I heard the door open, and it just creaked. That's all it did. It was just creaking. And I thought, I laid there really still, did not move. And I don't know why. Normally I would have gotten up and went to see what was going on. But at that point, I did not. I stayed put. And I heard it go back across the floor. I don't remember if the door chimed going back out or not, but it went across the floor and it was gone, and it gave me the impression that they'd went back out the door. I went back to sleep. And when I got up maybe an hour later, or two, actually it was 2 hours later, and it was at 7 a.m. I got up, I got my stuff, and I left. I put the key where I was told to put it. I locked it up and put the key back where I was told. I get into my car and I'm driving down the road and I call the caretaker. And I asked him, I said, did you come into the building around 5 a.m.? And he says, no. Why? And I said, because, I said, somebody come in. And I told him that someone had come in and the door chimed. And he said it couldn't be because he had it set up into his little house beside it. And it was set up into the house so that if someone came in there, he would hear it over there. Well, it chimed inside the building, but it didn't do it in his house. And he said he had never had anybody tell him that they had experienced that. And I said, I did. I heard this door chime. I heard the footsteps. I heard the creaking door. And I was in that building by myself. That was once a jail that dated back to the early 1800s. And they had a lot of prisoners in and out of there. Their solitary confinement, I guess if that's what you would call it, was in the basement. And it was only 2 foot in height. And it was, they had to climb up to get into it. And it had this one door. It was a steel door that they would close and lock.
Right.
And it was only 2 foot in height. And it was nothing but a dirt floor
right.
underneath it. They couldn't stand up. They literally were crawling underneath that.
Wow.
So, and then the upstairs, there was a room where there were rings. The big rings, like where you would shackle somebody to a floor. And they said that was a really bad area because they would put their worst of the worst there. And then, but then they'd also use that solitary confinement room, too, as well.
That's awesome. I was going to say, how in the world did you make it through the night? I know you had to have heard, seen something, Oh my goodness! I to be all alone in there. I don't get scared easy, but to be in a place like that, that would give me chills. You know, I wouldn't run from it.
Mm-hmm.
I would stay because my curiosity would keep me there, but it would certainly be something that. Once I did get home, I may not sleep without a light on. You know, that's amazing.
Oh, it was yeah. Well, see, I had never stayed at a location like that by myself, and that's not something that my team does. Normally, if we stay, we all stay.
Right.
You know, especially if it's a long trip like that. Well, that
right.
night, you know, they went home. I was tired. I knew I wouldn't make it home. If I drove out, because I was by myself, and I get sleepy quick.
Right.
So I opted to stay, and that was my experience from being there. But it was so, what was so funny about the whole thing was I had that door, and it was, you know, it was a cell door. And because I closed it, I felt safe. And it just did, you know, at the time I really didn't think about it, but, you know, if the spirits are in that building, it doesn't matter whether the door's shut or not, you know, they're going
right,
to come through.
Right,
but
right.
it just felt safe to me. But I happened to be in the woman's cell. And I guess because, I don't know, it was just a weird thing altogether. I want to go back there, but I don't want to stay overnight by myself again.
No. I'd love to go. Yeah, that would intrigue me, but I sure wouldn't go by myself. I know that. I don't know.
It was definitely interesting.
I hope you kept a log and wrote everything down that you heard, saw. Everything that came around you,
I would have wrote everything down. That would have been amazing to me. I don't know how you did it without, you know, it would have gave, I'd have had chills, you know, just, you know, and to only have yourself there and nobody to talk to, that took quite a bit.
It did, and at the same time, it taught me a lesson. You know, I mean, I was comfortable with being in the building, you know, the whole time we were there. But when things started, you know, it was right around 5 a.m., and when things started happening, you know, at that point, I still look back at that, and I'm just kind of in awe because I did not get up. But I laid there, and you know how a person, if you're trying to be very quiet and you shallow breathe,
yeah,
I was shallow breathing because I didn't want to hear, I didn't want whatever was in the other room to hear me.
Right.
And it was, for some reason, it was almost like I felt, you know, don't get up, don't look, you know, you don't need to see what's in there. And I thought it was my, you know, I thought it was the guy that was the caretaker of the building. And I called him and I asked him, and he said no.
No.
So, you know, they walk around that building, and they walk around quite loudly. And, you know, it just wasn't something I was expecting, you know. I mean, I was fascinated with the history of that whole building, you know, because part of it's older than the front. Yeah, the front part. Newer than the back part, and the walls of that jail is like 3 foot thick. It's all limestone. The whole building is made out of limestone.
Wow, that is amazing. That is just amazing. I don't know. It would take a great deal to talk me into something like that. Doing it alone, I would gladly go with somebody, but I. To do it alone, I guess I would have. I guess I'd end up speaking to whoever might be listening spirit wise, and doing it that way. That would get me through the night, and I'd probably sit and have a conversation with whoever was sitting with me. You know, that's amazing.
Well, I'll just say I'll blame my choice to stay. Not only part about being sleepy, but I'd hit my head when I was in the basement.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you know those really big, huge steel doors are like, and it's old. I mean, they were old. It's, I don't know if they would, not really steel. They were more like, what are they? They were just the heavy, heavy doors, cellar doors.
Yeah.
And I walked into one.
Oh, my gosh.
So we'll blame it on that. That's why I stayed. I wasn't thinking clearly. I almost knocked myself out. So.
Oh, goodness. Well, that's something. Well, I was hoping we would hear from somebody to share their stories on what they may have thought of their experiences with the paranormal, outside or in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still have about 11 minutes left in the show, so if anybody wants to call in and tell us about something that they've experienced, feel free to do so. You know, we'd love to talk to you.
Yes, we would. And I mean, here in where I live in Virginia, there's so many different places because of the history of historic Williamsburg and Yorktown and Jamestown, and there's so many places that at night is the time that they go out, you know, especially like to Crybaby Bridge and places like that, and go and see how much activity has picked up or you know, if it's died down. And it seems like if you leave it alone for quite a long time, the activity will pick back up very heavily. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go out there too many times, then it starts to fade in the background.
because they know that you're out there looking for them, and it shouldn't be like that. That's just like the house that Old House Wood, that right before you actually go into where it says Old House Woods, there's this brick house. I know that a lady lives there because it's very pretty, and the yard is very pretty. She has a flag, and it has the moon on it. And she never takes it down, but right alongside of her driveway, it goes from the front of the yard to the back of the yard, is and the driveway is only but so far, and maybe one or two cars could fit in it, and that's it. The rest of it opens up, and it's a very, very, very old cemetery. Extremely old, extremely old, old. And every time we have ever drove by there, I've always wanted to stop and just look at it. But my son says, no, you don't stop in front of someone's house. Cemetery or no cemetery, you don't stop, you know. And I know he's right. It's just that it's intriguing to see that she's actually got a cemetery that looks like it dates back into the 1700s, right there next to her windows.
Oh, wow.
It's eerie, to say the least. I'm curious enough to want to kind of creep up into it and look at it, but I know you could easily get in trouble for trespassing. So, you know, and this lady obviously keeps her yard very immaculate and very pretty, and always has the moon flying from her flagpole. But it's really strange to see a cemetery right there at the side of her home.
Well, that is odd.
And it's old. Yes, it is odd, and I wondered if those are family members, or if they're that's just the way that when she had bought the house or whatever, the cemetery was already there, or what have you, but she certainly doesn't touch it. It's left alone.
You know, when they made the lake here, there's a cemetery, and I have not found this cemetery yet, but I want to see it, because they said it's old. It's very old as well, but part of it is in the lake.
Wow.
And I want to find this cemetery, and I'm not sure where to look for it at. But I was fascinated with the fact that, you know, that they could even, you know, that it was like that, and I was like, well, did they move? You know, some of the did they move these people? and from what I understand, they moved some, but they didn't move all. So there are some, you know, this lake is huge, and there's part of a cemetery that's in the lake. But you can also go down, because there was the old town of Burnside, and the old town is under the lake, but there's still bits and pieces. There's like there's a railroad track. You can see it where it run through parts of some foundations on the building. And before any of this was there, there was actual a Native American camp that was there. And it's got a lot of history. And from what I understand, there's some mounds that are here, but I've not been able to find them yet either. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like stuff like that when I start learning about the history, and the odd part about it was this: the tribe that had a camp that was in Burnside happened to be, since I have a Native American bloodline, I don't know if some of those that are in the chat room with us tonight knew, but I have Native American bloodline. The tribe that was here in Burnside happens to be my ancestors. And
uh-huh.
there's a, yeah. I was really fascinated with that when I started finding out about it. But there's a lot of bad stuff that happened, and there's a burial site that's not too far from here, and there was women and children that were massacred, and it was just a bad situation because they were so afraid, and the chief that was over, that ran, you know, that was here in Kentucky and in Tennessee, had, after, for 25 years, after the treaties were signed, refused to let any settlers into Kentucky and Tennessee. There was a lot of bloodshed. So, what is they call Kentucky? I believe it's the land of the blood or something like that. That's what it means.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've learned quite a bit, but I would have to go back and look to just see exactly what the words was
right.
that it was said for that. But it's a bloody land or something to that effect.
I know that Kentucky's got a lot of Shawnee
mm-hmm.
in it. They're very, very spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
I was just told. Thank you, Sun Hawk. Dark and bloody ground. That's what I mean.
That is something.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. I have to say that for the ones that stood and fought, they fought hard to survive I respect that. I respect that will and the tenacity that they had to stand up and fight against, you know, for their own survival. I really
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is our Native people. Then they do stand up and they do fight for their people, and that is why we are still here today.
Mm-hmm. I was just informed by Sunhawk that Burnside, Kentucky, used to be the Cherokee capital, and that was something I did not know. So thank you for typing that into the chat room. I appreciate that.
Nice.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm also going to say this, if you want, you can click on my name on Blog Talk and add me, because I would love to talk more with you about that. I'm big into history, and I'm big into learning about our Native culture and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are now down to the last 2 minutes. Actually, down to the last 90 seconds. This always tells me that we've got more time than what we have.
Yes.
I want to tell everybody thank you for joining us tonight,
yes,
and we will see you all tomorrow.
Yes.
So have a great evening, and
mm-hmm. yes.
tune in. Go ahead, Jolene. I'm sorry.
No. No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll see you all tomorrow at 7 p.m. We will have Deonna Kelly Saeed. And she's author, paranormal investigator,
wow.
and I think you guys are going to enjoy her. So,
great.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. And everybody have a great evening, and we will see you tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.
I don't know how many times he taught her a lesson that she learned. Maybe you a house, a home, and babies. He started coming